conclude this series, Thrive. This is the fifth part of this series, Thrive. It's been a great series to open up the year. We have declared that 2019 is a year that we want to thrive, blossom, bloom, succeed, everything that God wants us to succeed in. We must, though, if we're going to do that, we understood that we talked about, we must place ourselves, grow our roots deep in an environment that causes us to grow. Correct? If we're going to grow, if we're going to thrive, we must cause ourselves, our roots to grow deep in an environment that will allow us to grow. If you don't place yourself in the right environment, you're not going to produce fruit. If you don't place yourself in the right environment, your roots are going to grow deep. And so we want to place ourselves in the right environment. I got to hang around the right people. I got to surround myself with life-giving people. I got to surround myself with a life-giving church. I got to be planted in a life-giving church. And environments really matter. When I show up where God's asked me to be, that's where He meets me. And we see this all through Scripture. God gave instructions, you show up here, I will meet you there, and the provision will be there. And then we talked about a few weeks ago about how Jesus touches our eyes. And when we get God's DNA in our eyes, it causes us to see things different. I want to see things different. Do you want to see things different? I mean, I want to learn to see what Jesus sees. I want to learn. See, people who thrive see beyond their hurt, see beyond the disappointment, see beyond the difficult season they're in, and they can see themselves getting better. They can see their marriage getting better. They can see themselves thriving. They can see that, God, you're going to turn this thing out and turn it around and work better for my good. Now, today I want to talk to you about where is your focus. Come on, say it. Where is your focus? Come on, say it to your neighbor with a deep voice. Say, where is your focus? There you go. Your focus. Don't you love going to the gym this time of the year? Come on. Look at this picture of the gym in January compared to December. Isn't that about the right? All you gym rats know what I'm talking about. In January, you can't find a machine. In January, you can't get somewhere to work out. It's like shoulder to shoulder people many times. You're waiting your turn. You're like, man, I wish these people hurry up. I'm ready to get in the rhythm. And then when February hits, it starts to decline a little bit. And by the time spring and summer gets here, you got the whole gym to yourself. It's an amazing thing that happens. It starts out this way. I mean, many people, come on, let's be honest. If you watch many people, they post all over social media about how they're going to change this year. People post all over social media how they're going to change and go out and buy the best shoes, the best workout outfit, new clothes. And then they go to the gym. And I've seen these people. Now, if I'm talking about you, then I'm not doing it on purpose, but maybe I saw you there, okay? But I've seen a lot of people at the gym who they'll come in and they'll walk around doing selfies in the gym. And never even work out. I've seen people come in, don't lie. I've seen people come in, they'll put a bunch of weight on the rack there and never lift that weight. They couldn't lift it, they had to. And take a picture and put it on their social media like, yeah. And they walk away. I'm like, you just lie. I don't know who's reading your post, but they're not fooled. I can tell you right now. Anybody understands? You know, you couldn't deadlift that, more or less bench press it. So, buddy, come on, come back to reality. Just because I'm posting pictures on social media doesn't make me stronger, right? This is a true story. Last year I was working out. We have a big window right in front of our gym there, and I was working out in front of that big window. I saw a car pull up, a lady get out. She took a selfie in front of the gym, got back in her car and left. Never even came inside. You know she checked in already on social media. She checked in, posted a picture like, yeah, getting my workout in. I'm fit. Gains today. You know, all these things that they're saying. And she didn't even come inside. If you're going to change, you're going to have to get inside, right? If you're going to change, you got to get in and start the workout process. It happens. So listen, look at this statement. If something doesn't challenge you, it's unlikely to change you. If it's not challenging you, it's unlikely to produce change in our life. It's going to be challenging. That's why people come and they're like, man, no one told me I was going to be sore. No one told me this was going to be hard. No one told me this is going to be rough. And then when it gets, the challenge gets there, you're like, man, I don't know if I really want to deal with this pain. I don't know if I want to limp around for a few days like this. See, if it's not challenging you, it's not going to change you. If you want to thrive, if you want to make gains personally and spiritually this year, then you got to allow some change to happen. You got to allow some challenge to come into your life. And I believe this, that the church and even the world is tired of having the greatest challenge coming to them from social media, the coming to them from a weight loss challenge or a physique challenge or a get out of debt challenge. I believe the church needs to step up and challenge each other. The pastor needs to get up and challenge the members and say, listen, God's got more for your life. You're living at a different level than God's got for you. You can do so much better. You can live at a higher level of faith. You can produce much more fruit in your life. You can see much more of a harvest. You can win more people for Jesus. You can do better. I can do better. You can do better. Together we can do better. But there's going to be some pain involved. It's going to challenge you. See, when your muscles break down, when you're working out and you're weight training and you're working out, what happens? Your muscles begin to break down. That's why you're sore. They break down. But what we realize is that when they grow back stronger. They grow back even bigger. And it takes time. You're tearing them down, giving them time to heal and come back. And it's going to be painful, okay? It's going to be painful, but you got to fight through that pain if you want to see the change. If you want to see yourself thriving this year, you got to go. Listen, to make gains, it must challenge you. Look at this. It must challenge you, and you must finish strong. You got to finish strong. Too many people start off strong in January, but by the time the summer or by the time the winter gets here, it's like that slide, man. You're nowhere to be found. You had great goals. You had great intentions, even maybe had a small plan. But whatever happened, you didn't finish strong. And so if you're going to thrive this year, you're going to have to let it challenge you, and you got to finish strong. You know, I've got a playlist on my phone that when I'm working out, that many times I get down to the last 20, 10% of my workout, and I'm like, you know what, I've already worked out these muscles enough. And, you know, starting to get sore. I'm starting to really push it to get these last reps in. And I'll feel myself making excuses already in my mind. My mind's already trying to check out. Like, you can go ahead and slip out. You'll be okay. But I'll put on the Finish Strong playlist. And I hear Rocky theme come on. Or I hear Eye of the Tiger. Or some other great songs that motivate me. Songs I used to listen to when I was warming up playing football or basketball. And man, the adrenaline just kicks right in. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I get out there and I'm finishing up the rep strong. I got to finish strong. It's important to finish strong. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you got to finish strong. Don't quit. Don't give up. Finish. And it's going to challenge you. It's going to be painful at times. But if you want to thrive, you got to work through that. If you want to thrive, we got to understand this. We need more than just willpower. We need God power. If you're going to thrive in 2019, you need more than just willpower. You need God power. You need God's power in your life. Look what Romans 12:1 says. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let's all say that word. He has done for you. One more time. He has done for you. If you don't know this, God is working in your life. Let them be a living. It tells us now, God's done this for us. Now let us, in return, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. For all that God has done, my response is to become a living sacrifice. Now, we know this, that a dead sacrifice doesn't leave the altar. But a living sacrifice, it can crawl up on the altar, and it can crawl back down off the altar. And many times we've done this, we've presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, but then we've slowly scooted our way off the altar. We've slowly took God off the main pedestal of our life, and we've allowed other things to come, and we pull ourselves off the altar. And I'm telling you today, in response to all that God has done, it demands of us that we live our life as a holy sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice of saying, God, I'm learning to surrender to your will more than my will. And it's a work in progress. It's a continual thing. It's something that we all are working on continually, learning what it means to give up. Listen, you'll never get to where God wants you. You'll never hit your stride. You'll never hit your thrive. In 2019, when you're looking back to what happened in 2018, listen, it's not going to happen. You can't be looking back at who hurt you. You can't be looking back at the disappointments. You can't be looking back at goals unfulfilled. You can't be looking back at hurts and failures. If you're going to change, if you're going to change and go somewhere and thrive, you must change the direction. Look at this. You must change the direction of your reflection. If I get up every day reflecting on what used to be, wah, 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 wah. Sad story. We've all got a sad story. We've all got disappointments. And if I get up constantly focusing my attention on, well, I didn't do that last year. Well, I failed at this last year. Well, they hurt me last year. Well, I got skipped over for this raise last year. Well, this happened to me. All these things happen, and all my focus goes to that, and I never walk into the thrive that God has for my life because I'm constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Listen, rearview mirrors are there. Why? To glance at. You don't drive looking at the rearview mirror. Why? Because you'll miss what's coming ahead. And so, it's okay to look back in the rearview mirror once in a while. But you don't want to know why I look back in the rearview mirror. I look back and say, God, 2018 was a lot of hurt. Well, God, there's a lot of disappointment. Well, God, I blew it here. And all those things happen. And when I look back in the rearview mirror, I'm looking at every day, I'm taking a step away from that. Every day, it's another day behind me. Every day, I'm a little bit further down the road to recovery. Every day, I'm walking a little bit more into the blessing God has for me. Every day, I'm planting new seed. And I do that every day, and pretty soon I look back and go, wow, what used to really be right there close, I'm starting to put some distance between me and that hurt. And I put my reflection, what I'm reflecting on, I get up and say, God, my eyes are upon you. God, my eyes are upon your will. God, your direction for my eyes. You must choose to focus on what God has done. Listen, if you're going to thrive this year, you must, it's a must. You've got to choose to focus on what God has done. Don't focus on who has left me. Focus on who stayed with me. Don't focus on who betrayed me. Focus on who supported me. Don't focus on who was bad to me. Focus on who was good to me. Don't focus on my losses. Focus on what God brought me out of and what God sustained me through. Is anybody saying amen this morning? Let me ask you this question. Was God good to you last year? Even though you went through some hard season and difficult times, was God good through you last year? Let me ask you this. Was God faithful to you last year? Did God stay with you when he never turned his back on you? Is that true? Was God there for you through your pain, through your difficult season, through your hurt? Was God there? If so, remember, he's going to be with you tomorrow. So my get up, I say, God, I thank you. I get up today and say, God, I thank you that you're with me. God, I thank you that my focus is upon you and your goodness for my life. I don't know how I put distance between me and this mistake. I don't know how I put distance between me and this hurt. God, I don't know how I put distance between me and this rejection. But God, somehow, as I kept my eyes and my focus upon you, you began to put distance between me and that situation. And now I'm looking forward with anticipation. I'm looking forward with faith. I'm looking forward with a smile of knowing, all right, there's still going to be some pain ahead, but you know what? No pain, no gain. It's all right. I'm doing some gains here. I'm making some spiritual gains. I'm making some personal gains in my life. And God is taking me somewhere. God is doing something. Come on, it's time for you to do something. Put your focus on God. Get your focus off of your own petty problems. The world's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. And he is looking for his people who have put their eyes upon how big he is and not how big their problem is. There is where our focus lies. So how do we do that? Let me give you some practical ways. Number one, pray for the want power. Pray for the want power. I've got to say, God, I want to learn to want what you want for my life. As simple as that. God, I got to learn to desire what you desire for my life. And it doesn't just happen. It's not a natural thing that happens. There's something that's got to transform in my heart. There's something that's got to transform in my mind before that takes place. And so I got to learn to yield myself in prayer and make that the prayer of my heart. God, help me to want what you want for my life. God, you know the plans for me. And they're not to harm me, but they're to make me prosper. They're to make me succeed in the kingdom of God. And God, you got a better plan for me. So help me to want what you want. Help me to lay aside the things I put on pedestals above you. God, help me. See, oftentimes we don't see change because we never, ever break down and see a breakdown of our desires. Our desires remain selfish. Our desires remain self-centered. Our desires remain, is that what they are? My own desire versus yielding. See, if you're a Christian today, God is wanting you to learn to surrender every area of your life to him. And it starts with that, God, change my want. This is my plan, but God, change my plan to be what your plan really is. And let him begin to transform you. Have we put God, look at this, have we put God on the pedestal of your life? We must put God on the pedestal of our life. What is the numero uno in our life? What is that the pinnacle of our affection? What is at the pinnacle of our attention? What are we placing on pedestals in our life? For many of us, it's beauty, attractiveness. Come on, look at this. Come on now. For many of us, I can just be like Aquaman or Wonder Woman. If we can look like Aquaman or Wonder Woman, you know, even though they're Photoshopped and they look good, you know, if I could, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your body. Nothing wrong with, you know, listen, every old barn needs some paint once in a while. It's okay. Take care of yourself. To look good, to look nice, and ladies, look nice for your husband. The husband, look nice for your wives. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But when it becomes the pinnacle of my attention, I stress about everything. Every little thing is stressed about how am I going to look? How am I looking? If everything's stressed about it, and that becomes the pinnacle in my life, all my attention. The problem is this, as much as you try, the gray hairs are going to come. The hairs are going to fall out. I can color it, Pastor. Yeah, but those wrinkles are still going to creep up on you. This happens. And see, if you put that as the pinnacle of your life, then what happens is this, that you're setting yourself up for a failure. Because in the end, no one can sustain. In the end, none of us can sustain. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is this. We put that as the as the pedestal of our life, the pinnacle of our life, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. How about this? How many people do this? How many put, let's say, money at the pedestal of your life, right? Money is a wonderful tool, but a terrible God. Money is a wonderful tool, but a terrible God. And if only thing you put the first in your life is I got to make more money, I got to succeed, I got to prove people I can be better, I got to prove people that I can own this, I got to prove people that I can have this much. Listen, if that's what's driving you and you're putting it there above everything else, you may end your life with a lot of money, but no one around to enjoy it wealth because you've neglected relationships and you're not bringing anybody else with you to the kingdom, and it's there, it's empty, it's hollow. It doesn't mean anything without family. It doesn't mean anything without relationships. It doesn't mean anything if God's not blessing what we're doing. And so there's nothing wrong with making money, nothing wrong with being successful. I want you to be successful, and I want you to make money, man. I want you to give it to the kingdom of God, amen? Come on now. I want you to be a blessing. I want God to bless you so you continue to bless others. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes at the pedestal of my life, when I put it there at number uno in my life, it's in the wrong place. It's setting me up for disappointment. It kills and steals and destroys my life. For other of us, maybe we put hobbies up there. Come on now. We put hobbies out in front of our life. Have I offended anybody yet? My goal is to offend everybody today before we leave, at least once. He's talking about my hobbies. I see the Chiefs up there. Oh, my God, he's got Chiefs Stadium. Fashion jeans against the Chiefs. No, they're not the Cowboys, but they're okay. But what this is it. You know I'm a bigger sports fan than probably anybody in this room. I love it. I've attended several biggest sporting events. I love it. Love the fish. Love the game. Love all the things. We can just list the hobbies. I love those things. They're all in the right spot, but they can't be the first in my life. They can't dominate me. They can't take all my attention. They can't take all my passion. See, the only way I'm going to thrive is when I put on a pedestal Jesus first. Jesus has got to be at the top of my life. God, I want what you want for my life. God, I want what your kingdom desires for me to live in. God, I desire to please you. God, I desire to elevate you. God, I desire to be an impact in the kingdom of God. God, I desire to be used of you. It's keeping Jesus at the pinnacle of our life. God, I pray, what do you, give me the want power, God, to want what you want for my life. See, giving my all to God will allow him to give his all to me. Giving my all to God allows him in return to give his all to me. And some of us, we aren't walking in everything God's got for us because we haven't learned to totally surrender everything we have. He wants me to surrender every part of my life so that he can unlock the many wonderful multitude of blessings he has for us, but it comes when I learn to surrender. God, I want what you want. I've got to change my focus. Look what Philippians 2:12 says and verse 13. Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Now look what it says. Work hard. Turn to your neighbors, tell them really, really loud. Work hard. Work hard. Why? Work hard to show the results of our salvation. Not just work hard to make money. Not just work hard for my hobbies. Not just work hard to work out for my body. But I'm to work hard to show what God has done in my life. It is hard work. Let me say again, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hard work. And he tells us, he challenges us, work hard. Work hard. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Now look what happens. When you work hard, for God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. See, when I work hard for my salvation, not for my salvation, but work hard showing what God has done in my life, then God, in return, is working for me, bringing forth my desires, bringing forth his power in my life, that I can live a life that pleases him. It's my focus. God, I want what you want. It should be the prayer. God, I want what you want for my life. We got to pray, God, help me to want what you want. And the second thing today, start small. Come on, write that down. Start small. Sometimes we put out these big goals for every year, and many times we hardly ever even just touch the tip of the iceberg. I seen this list the other day of Mark Wahlberg, his schedule he put out. This is his daily schedule. Now, me and Mark Wahlberg, we have a lot in common. That wasn't supposed to be a joke. Come on now. We're both the same age, and, well, I'm taller than he is. So, anyway, top movie stars, and, man, besides Marky Mark, besides those days, otherwise, he's a cool dude. And look what it says here, his daily schedule. He wakes up at 2:30 every morning. 2:45, he's praying. Mark's a devout Catholic, so he spends time in prayer. It's very important to him. 3:15, he's eating breakfast. 3:40, he's getting his workout in. 5:30, his post-workout meal. 6 o'clock, he's showered. 7:30, he's playing golf. I mean, this guy does more before you get up than we accomplish all day long. He's got his snacks organized. 9:30, he's doing his recovery. Let's look at the second page. 10:30, another snack. 11 o'clock, family time, meetings, calls, lunch at 1. 2 o'clock, meeting, work calls. 3 o'clock, pick up the kids from school. 3:30, get my other snack in, get a few of my workouts. 4 o'clock, workout number 2. He's getting workout number 2 at 4 o'clock, and many of us hadn't got workout number 1 in. He's already done a full day's work. Now he's going to work out number 2. Showers at 5:30, dinner, family time, 7:30, bedtime. I mean, come on now. And we see something like this, we're like, yeah, man, he's so organized. And, man, he's got his details organized for his life. He's making gains in his life. He's being successful. But we got to realize this is not Mark's starting point. This is his finishing point for where he's at in his life right now. He didn't get this schedule overnight. He had to take small steps to get there. He had to take small steps to get there. Look at this next statement today. We got to quit comparing. Don't compare your starting point with someone else's finishing point. See, that kills us right there. Because we see ourselves thinking, all right, they're already doing this, and I'm just barely able to keep up with a little bit of this. And then we give up. No, they didn't start there. You start every day by just taking one step doing the right thing. I want to be a spiritual giant like them. I want to have faith like them. I want to be out of debt like them. I want to get in shape like them. Well, then you take one step at a time. Don't set a goal. I'm going to read 10 chapters a day, every day for a whole year, when you never even read the Bible at all right now. How about we go one chapter a day for 3 days a week? I want to pray every day. I'm going to put 2 days a week. I'm going to put the prayer, and 3 days a week, I'm going to read the word, at least one chapter a day. Boy, I've gotten 5 days now. I've been doing that for a month now. Now I'm going to up it to 4 and 5. I'm going to up it to 6 and 7. I'm going to up it to 2 chapters. I mean, you take small steps, have small gains. Whatever goal you're putting out there, let me challenge you, cut it in half. Put it in bite-size, small pieces that you can put out there and see, all right? I want to be there. If your goal is to lose 50 pounds, don't say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 2 months. No, no. I want to lose 5 pounds in 1 month. And in 10 months, I'll lose 50 pounds. I want to lose 1 pound a week. And in 50 weeks, I've lost 50 pounds. I mean, you take small steps that way. I want to learn to pray at least 3 days a week during this time. I want to learn to read my Bible at least 3 days a week during this time. I'm taking steps there. Cut it down. Take small steps, okay? And quit comparing yourself. When you compare, it steals your joy. It robs you because you're trying to become somebody else that God hasn't designed you to be. And you are missing the point. God wants you to start small. It's okay. Let me give you some ways you can do this, okay? Look what Romans 12:2 says, first of all. Let's look at this. Wait, let's back up. I want you to see this first. It's better to win small. It's better to win small than to lose big, okay? It's better to win small than to lose big. When we lose big, we're like, oh, man, I didn't accomplish 90% of the things on my list this year. 90% of my goals, down. Well, start small. What's a goal I can accomplish this week? Accomplish that. What's the goal I can do next week? Take steps. Have those small wins in your life. It means a lot. Look what it says here now, Romans 12:2. We've got to transform. Everybody say transform. Come on, say transform. God says don't copy the world. It's behavior, it's customs. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We got to change the way we think. We got to allow God to transform us. How do we do that? How do we change it? By the way we think. If I think I'll never change, I'll never change. If I think I'll always be a slave to my mistake, I'll always be a slave. If I think I'm always a victim, I'll always be the victim. If I think I'm always going to be the victim of abuse, I'm always going to be a victim of abuse. I'm always going to be skipped over. I'm always going to be looked over. We have all these things that we put our focus on. No, I got a smallly say, God, I'm getting the win. God, I thank you that God, you're transforming the way I think. So how do I do that? In closing, let me give you quick three things I want you to write down. Write these down. Three things. Number one, you wake up. Every day you wake up, remember what God has done. I'm looking for God. I glance in the rearview mirror. Thank you, God, for where you brought me from. God, thank you for being faithful. God, thank you for walking me through this difficult season. God, thankful that I got through this and I had no idea. Number two, remember what God has said. Spend a little time in His Word. Read a verse. Read something. God, I want to remember what Your Word has said. God, I want to remember what God has said. And number three, remember to yield to where God leads. You want to change your life in small steps, but do it in a radical way. Do it in a transformational way. Right there. Very practical. Every morning I get up, I remember what God has done. I remember what He said to me. Who He says I am. And I say, God, today I want to yield to where You lead me. Talking about an adventure. Talking about a challenge. Talk about change that will happen. I'm telling you, it will transform your life. It will start your process of God transforming your life. I want you to bow your heads. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready for God to transform my life. And it starts right here with this question. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you believed in your heart and confessed it with your mouth? This is why we are here today. The most important thing is so we can ask you this question. Say, Pastor, I've never done that before. Today's your day. Today's your day. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I'm ready for Him to start transforming my life, Pastor. Maybe you never prayed that prayer before. Maybe you prayed a long time ago, but you've been so far away in your heart and serving God. And said, today I want to come back and just renew that covenant with God. Nobody's looking but me right now. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. Can you just lift your hand up in response and say, today's my day, Pastor. I'm thank you. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Anybody else want to join us today? Thank you. Yeah. This is good. Anybody else say, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior in my life. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Anybody else today say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Today's my day. This is why we're here today. Those of you who raised your hands, and as Christians sitting around you, we're going to say it with you. Let's repeat this prayer out loud. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I surrender all of my life to you today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, We say welcome to the family of God. Yes. Awesome. Man, we're so glad you made that decision today. We are excited today that you made that decision today. Come on, stand on your feet. I think they deserve a bigger hand clap than that. And they made a life-changing decision today. Awesome, guys. Awesome. Proud of you. Very, very proud of you today. God's got more for your life than what you know, sir. God's got more for your life than you know, ma'am. God sees you there, and he's got more for you today. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, I want you to stop by our hub. We're going to have our garage door open up back there. Get a free Bible, some other information we're going to put in your hand as a free gift. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to put my focus back on what God wants. I want God to change my heart. I want to learn to want what he wants. I want to learn to take small steps every day, growing forward. If that's you, that's me. Raise my hand right now. That's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Come on. Let's declare it. Come on, let's declare it. Our God reigns. Can I invite you just to lift your hands up one more time? I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you as we open up our hands as a sign that we're surrendering our life to you. Lord, I thank you that you're changing us today. God, change our heart. Change our heart, God. May we want what you want for our life. Above and beyond anything else. God, you're speaking to so many people here today. God, I feel your spirit moving on so many people today. God, change us, God. May we put you at the pedestal of our life, the pinnacle of our life. We repent, God. We say, forgive us, God, for putting other things ahead of you. And God, today we say we're entering into a new season. Our eyes focused on what's ahead. Our eyes focused on the prize. But we're going to run this race looking ahead. God, thanking you for what you've done in our life. And God, we believe you're going to change us, God. 2019 is our year to thrive. And God, we're going to thrive in everything the kingdom of God has for our life. And we believe it. We prophesy it in Jesus' name. We say, amen. Put your hands together. Bless the Lord. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Can we do that? Amen. We love you. Man, I believe God's got so much work he's doing in your life. I'm excited for what God's doing in this season of your life. Thank you so much for keeping church a priority today. We love you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.